My sins have been cast in the depths of the sea, down deep in the sea. So deep they shall never be brought against me, down deep in the sea. Down, 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 down in the depths of the sea. The sins of the past are all gone at last, down in the depths of the sea. My soul is rejoicing, my sins are all gone, down deep in the sea. I praise the dear Lord who has cast everyone down deep in the sea. Down, 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 down in the depths of the sea. The sins of the past are all gone at last, down in the depths of the sea. From sin's condemnation I am now released, down deep in the sea. And all of the dread of the past is now ceased, down deep in the sea. Down, 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 down in the depths of the sea. The sins of the past are all gone at last.
Amen. Amen. Enjoyed that tenor solo. Y'all pardon me while I get this thing hung around there. That's something new. It's not a fashion statement. I use it because I don't like to fall. I was getting ready for hunting season back in September last and had to put new batteries in my bad boy buggy. I'd spent over $1,000 for the batteries and the guy said you can save $200 by putting them in yourself. I'm dumber than a rock. I didn't think you got to take all 8 of them out, lift them out, 60 pounds apiece. Like then. And put all 8 of them in like that. Herniated the disc in my back. That was on a Thursday. I flew out on Saturday to start a meeting in Iowa on Sunday, preached Sunday morning, taught Sunday school, preached. Right in the middle of my sermon on Sunday night, my right leg gave way and I fell flat on my face on the platform before God and everybody. The associate pastor jumped up on the platform and tried to pick me up. And I said, leave me alone. I slugged him. He meant good, but he's grabbing at the wrong places. I said, I got down here by myself. I'll get up by myself. And I apologized to the people and said, I'm sorry, I've never done this before. Please forgive me, but I did notice some of you were nodding off and thought I ought to do something to get your attention back. But went home and had an MRI and went to the neurosurgeon, and he said, you need to have surgery, have it fixed, but I'd have to cancel 7 meetings. And I said, isn't there something I can do until I get to summer and then have it done? So he sent me to a doctor that gave me injections in my back. Have to put you to sleep to give the injection. Have to guide the needle into the injured area with active x-ray, live x-ray. And kill the pain, but still weak on my right side, so I've got that. I get in trouble with it. When I get to be at church, at our home church, my wife and I sit right over here at the aisle, and the ushers come down, and they're standing right there in front of us during the prayer, and I goose them. They were just kids, grew up in our church, now they're grown, serving. Thank you so very much for praying for my wife throughout these past 14 months. She came through her surgery. Last year when I was here, she had just had surgery. She came through the surgery, went through the chemo, went through the radiation, and she's doing well. Doing well. She started about 3 weeks ago traveling with me when I drive, and it's such a blessing. In fact, she's doing so well, she's doing all the driving for us now. I still sit behind the wheel and steer, but she's doing the driving, telling me how. She's the world's worst backseat driver. I ask her, honey, what do you want today, a blindfold or a gag? It's bad. But I sure am thankful she's with me to tell me how to drive again, and she's been a blessing. Greatest thing to ever happen to me outside of God saving me, giving me Jesus Christ, He gave me the woman that became my bride, my wife. And this June, we'll celebrate our 57th year, and what a blessing she's been. Open your Bibles today to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. I want to preach this morning for a few minutes on give the ball to Johnson. Isaiah chapter 6. If you found your place out of love and respect for the Word of God, would you stand? And I shall begin to read in verse number 1. I'll read through verse number 8. The Bible says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. As a young preacher, I was listening to the radio, and a colored preacher was preaching, and it was evident he didn't have any education. And he said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. And he said, I saw Him in His temple. He had a train in there. He's about as scripturally correct as some Baptist I know today. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings. With twain He covered His face. With twain He covered His feet. And with twain He did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the post of the doors moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. And then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. And also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send, and who will go for me? And then said I, here am I. Send me. Heavenly Father, this morning we come to you thanking you, Father, that we who are nothing more than hell-deserving sinners have the privilege of knowing and loving and serving a thrice holy God. Thank you for the redemption that paid our sin debt and purchased our salvation. Thank you for the justification that came with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for heaven to look forward to. Thank you for a life worth living here while we're waiting on our future home in glory. Thank you for the privilege of serving you. Thank you for being with us as we walk through life's journey in this old wicked world. And thank you that though we live in the midst of wickedness and sin and ungodliness and stupidity, we can look up and see the one who is the one whose name is above every name, and know that one day soon you're coming back again to receive us to yourself. Now, Lord, I need your help this morning. Fill me with thy Holy Spirit. Help me to say something that will help people today. Lord, we live in a world that's full of hurt and heartaches and failures and disappointments. Lord, I see so many giving up and getting angry and getting bitter and preachers quitting. And God, help me to help someone to go on. Not to give up or give out or give over or give in, but go on. And keep on going on day by day serving you until the trumpet sounds. I need your help. Give me clarity of thought and clear words to speak. I don't ask to preach a great message, but help it to be a message that will help your people face tomorrow with victory and hope. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want you to look at verse number 1. The Bible says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. I want to use that statement, I saw also the Lord. I love the way the King James puts it. I saw also the Lord. Too many are majoring on the calamities of our day and the heartaches of our day and the failures of our day. But the secret of making it in our Christian life is to look beyond those heartaches and beyond the calamities and see also the Lord. Isaiah was God's prophet to the southern kingdom, Judah. He had witnessed Israel, the northern kingdom, taken into captivity by Assyria. He knew that unless Judah returned to the Lord and got right with God, that Judah was also going to be overrun by the Assyrian armies. In the previous chapters, Isaiah is warning the people about their sin and hypocrisy in worship. They'd gone so far away from God that he calls them Sodom and Gomorrah in chapter 1, verse 10. For 52 years, Uzziah had reigned as king. Under his leadership, the nation had been blessed with every token of divine favor. The Philistines, the Arabians, the Ammonites, all had been brought under subjection. And now King Uzziah dies. That's bad enough, but before he died, according to 2 Chronicles chapter 26, the king allows his heart to be lifted up in pride and tried to take the place of a priest and burn incense on the altar in the temple. And the priest withstood the king, and God smote Uzziah with leprosy. And all the days of the rest of his life, Uzziah was a leper. He died a leper. And with the death of King Uzziah, the national glory of Israel died also. Leprosy is a picture of sin. Both the king and the nation died in their sin. And it was in this setting that Isaiah writes, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. For my message today, I want to emphasize the statement, I saw also the Lord. Here's the difference between those who give up and give in and give over and give out to their situation or circumstances. Too many see only the problems and the heartaches instead of through the problems and heartaches see also the Lord. Isaiah saw the sin of Israel and Judah. He saw the pride and presumption of Uzziah. He saw the leprosy and the death of the king. But that's not all. Above it all, he saw also the Lord. To live victoriously as Christians, we must, like Isaiah, always look beyond the tragedy and the sorrow of the moment and see also the Lord. Oh, I'm amazed at the people that see their problems as bigger than God. They see their problems bigger than life. Take their life. Give up their life. Give up their calling. Give up their ministry. Because they lose sight of the one who's above all of it. Hey, let me tell you something, young people, young men, young ladies, older preachers, preachers' wives. God's more interested in building you into the servant He wants you to become than He is building your ministry. He'll allow you to go through some heartaches and trials and storms to toughen you and to teach you and to test you and to harden you so you'll be a servant usable by the Master. To live victoriously in our Christian life, we must, like Isaiah, always look beyond the tragedy and the sorrow of the moment and see also the Lord. When sin and evil was the way of life and the nation was living on the brink of God's judgment, Isaiah lifted his eyes above the pollution of his day and fixed his eyes on the thrice holy God. And he saw, what he saw was the pre-incarnate Christ in all of his glory, splendor, seated on the throne of glory. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, 2, and 3. He looks on further and saw Christ's incarnation in Isaiah 7:14. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. He looked on still and saw Isaiah 53, the Holy Son of God, take our place in judgment that we might be justified before an Almighty God. He looks on still further in Isaiah 60, and he sees the Lord coming in glory to set up His everlasting kingdom. That's how Isaiah made it through his tragedy. That's how we make it. We must see also the Lord. May I say also, to win victory over our sin, we must see also the Lord as greater than our sin. After David's terrible sin with Bathsheba, the judgment of God was upon him because of his sin. That judgment resulted in the death of his little baby son. He stands at the gravesite and lifts his head upward, and he sees also the Lord. And Psalm 51 was written. And he confesses his sin and declares that it's sin against God. And he asks for God's forgiveness. He repents. Instead of just focusing on his sin or the death of his little boy, he sees our holy and just God. And he sees also the Lord who is able to bring meaning and purpose for life out of the chaos caused by sin. And he sees also the Lord who is able to forgive his sin. And oh, David, looking beyond that little grave, said, I can't bring him back, but I can go where he is. And he could say that only because of the provisions of Almighty God. May I say also, in the times of our sorrow, we must also see the Lord. Jesus got word from Mary and Martha that Lazarus was sick. Lazarus died. It was 4 days later before Jesus came. And in the weeping and the mourning, Martha kept looking for Jesus. While everyone was weeping at the graveside, Martha sees also the Lord coming. Said, He's dead. If you'd have been here, He wouldn't have died. But I know whatsoever you say, it'll be done. The Lord turned that sorrow into rejoicing when He said, Lazarus, come forth! All because in her sorrow, she saw also the Lord. This last Thanksgiving, one of my granddaughters and her husband came to spend Thanksgiving with us. They're working on a church staff, making plans to start deputation to go to Nepal as missionaries. They were expecting their first little baby. Thanksgiving night, about midnight, a knock came on her door. Her husband came out of their bedroom and said, Pops and Mimi, we've got to go to the hospital. Something's happening. They rushed to the hospital. She's 25 weeks. She gave birth to a little baby girl that weighed a little over a pound. They wept. They prayed. Held that little baby 5 days. And she died. First baby. Trying to serve God and live for God now in the midst of all of their trying to serve God. The sorrow that's greater than we know how to explain. I was able to take the Word of God and open it to the book of Romans, chapter 5, and help them to lift their eyes above the sorrow of the moment and see the Lord. For in Romans chapter 5, we're told, whereas by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And then I said, but don't focus there, go down to verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. That's little babies. Adam's sin was willful sin. Little babies have no willful sin. They have Adam's sin, nature passed on to them, and the penalty of that is passed on to them, and little babies die. Said, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come, Jesus came as a little baby in Bethlehem's manger. Ah, but listen, verse 15, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of many one be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace of which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded to many. You know what he's teaching us there? He's teaching us when little babies die. Oh, the sorrow and the sadness of a mom and dad at the loss, and a grandma and grandpa at the loss of a little baby. But oh, the joy to look beyond the death and beyond the sorrow and see Jesus and the provisions that He's made for them. Just as we can say, I am saved because of the finished work of Jesus Christ, we can say those little babies that die before they reach the age of understanding have the promise of God that the same life we have in Christ Jesus, they have in Christ Jesus. That's the way we make it through our sorrow. We look above the sorrow and we see Jesus Christ. We see also the Lord who's made provision so the tears can be wiped away and victory can fill our soul and our heart. Oh yes, we went to that little plot in the cemetery and a little grave, little casket. And we wept there. But we looked up and rejoiced because through the sorrow we saw also the Lord. You better learn that in life, or sorrows will overwhelm you. Greater than our sorrows is the Lord Jesus Christ. And may I say also, in the times when we're going through storms in our life, we must look beyond the storms and see also the Lord. Remember the Apostle Paul, a prisoner on a ship going to Rome? They were caught in the midst of a great storm. For many days they fought just to keep the ship afloat. It seemed that all would be lost, but they would, and they would lose their life. Ah, but in the midst of the storm, Paul saw also the Lord. And in Acts 7:27, verse 21, Bible begins by saying, but after long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, only the ship. For there stood by me this night. In the midst of the storm, there stood by me this night the angel of the Lord of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, for thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. 276 souls on that ship. Amen. Though the storm tore the ship to smithereens, not one soul was lost. Look beyond the storms. God sends the storms in our life not to hurt us, but to help us. He's trying to make you the man of God and the woman of God He wants you to be. He's trying to teach you to trust Him because the Lord hath His way in the whirlwind and in the storms. The disciples were told by our Lord to get into a little boat and go to the other side, and He sent them right out into the midst of the storm. He knew the storm was there. He was trying to teach them to trust Him. And they were scared to death. They thought they was going to die. And they look up and see somebody walking on the water. In the midst of their storm, they saw also the Lord. He was doing something to help Peter to grow. To trust Him, to have faith, and to have more faith. Here comes Jesus walking on the water, and old Peter says, "Beckon me to come to you, Lord, and I'll walk to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come on." And Peter got out of the boat and started walking on the water. Don't be so hard on Peter. I know he sunk. But the Bible says he walked on the water. Yeah, but he didn't walk very far. How far have you walked on the water? The Bible says he walked on the water. He taught him to trust Him. He taught him to look beyond the storm and trust Him, because he knew there's a day coming when Peter was going to have to stand up and preach a message about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And 3,000 people would get saved and baptized in one service. Ah. Let me tell you, preacher, God has a divinely prescribed purpose in our storm. He's trying to teach us to trust Him. We better learn that He is bigger than the storms of our life. And instead of letting the storms destroy us, look beyond the storm and see also the Lord and get victory through the storm. A storm, that storm has an opportunity for personal growth. God's trying to make us into the servant He wants us to be. I've found so many times in the storms that I've gone through, if I'll keep my eyes on Him, just beyond the storm where the average person quits, there's victory for those who see also the Lord. In those times of shame, when we feel like we're miserable failures, we must be able to say, "I saw also the Lord." Old Moses was in exile in the Midian desert. He had fled Egypt for his life. You see, Moses had to be a Baptist, because like Baptists today, he got ahead of God. He's tried to deliver Israel by his own power and his own strength. He killed an Egyptian and buried him in the sand so they wouldn't find him. I can see old Moses going home that night and going to bed and hearing something outside, and there's the wind blowing. Well, Moses had to think, "Man, that sand's blowing." And sure enough, they found the Egyptian he had tried to bury. He ran for his life. He'd been trained in Pharaoh's court for 40 years, and now then for 40 years, he was in exile, hiding. One day in the midst of his exile on the backside of the desert, he sees something. It was a tree burning, a bush burning, and a voice speaking out of those bushes, that bush. He saw not just a bush, he saw also the Lord. And God called him and sent him back to Egypt to lead Israel out of bondage. But out of the misery of his failure, he saw also the Lord, and God used him in the last 40 years of his life to lead Israel out of Egyptian bondage to the boundary of the promised land. In his shame, he saw also the Lord and became victorious. And Hebrews 11:26 says, "He endured as seeing Him who is invisible." Oh, listen to me, my dear friend. God is so small in so many lives today that we see only the problem and the sin and the shame and the heartache and the sorrow and the storms and the failures. God's bigger than all of those individually and all of them collectively. We must learn to see also the Lord. Because beyond those difficulties and problems and heartaches we're facing, God is still God. And He has victory for those that will see Him and trust Him and yield to Him. In the times of our suffering, we must lift our eyes above the pain and see also the Lord. John had been exiled to the rock snake infested prison island called Patmos. He didn't die in defeat and self-pity. He didn't go over in the corner of that island and suck his thumb and have a Baptist pity party and quit. It happened to be the Lord's day, and in the Spirit, on the Lord's day, he worshiped God, and God gave him a vision beyond that island and beyond time as we know it. And he saw the end time, and he saw the coming of Jesus Christ, and he saw the saints of God in glory. And he saw him coming back to this earth. He saw him judging Antichrist and the false prophets. And he saw him setting up his everlasting kingdom on the earth. Because in his exile, in his sorrow, in his suffering, he looked beyond the hurts and saw also the Lord. Stephen, Acts chapter 7, while preaching the word, was stoned, cursed, and gnashed on him with their teeth. Now, I've had people get mad at me. I've had them curse me and call me. I've never had anybody get so mad to start biting on me. They gnashed on him with their teeth. I don't believe they's just talking ugly about him. But old Stephen lifted his face toward heaven and saw also the Lord. And the Bible says in Acts 7:56, I see Jesus standing at the Father's right hand. Oh, our Lord is never closer to His children than in time of suffering. He knows what it is to suffer alone. He knows what it is to be abandoned by God so He could bear our sins on the cross. He knows so much that He said to us, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He saw also the Lord. These last 14 months have been difficult. It's one thing for me to suffer. It's something else to see someone you love dearly go through suffering. My wife was diagnosed with cancer. She had her surgery. She went through the chemo and the radiation. And oh my, the Spirit God gave her. What a blessing. What an encouragement. I don't know how I could have made it through it had it not been for her Spirit. Because she told me, I'm determined that the big C in my life is not going to be cancer. It's going to be Christ. You know, she came through that suffering because she saw also the Lord. And oh, my young friend, my dear preacher brother, dear saints of God, dear ladies, when you're going through these storms, when you're going through the sorrow, when you're going through the suffering, God, help us to look beyond that and see that Jesus still reigns. And He's still in charge. And He has a purpose for it all. If we'll trust Him. Oh, she's doing great. She's doing great. She's about to have her first 6-month checkup. All the tests so far have come back in a very positive state, good state. And the news has been wonderful. The doctors have been pleased. I don't know how we'd have made it had we just been looking at the suffering and the cancer. But greater than the suffering, greater than the cancer, we're able to look above and see also the Lord who brought us through it. And one last thing, just in case someone's here, when thinking about your lost condition and your need of salvation, it's imperative that you see beyond your sin and beyond your lost condition and see also the Lord. The one who took your sins upon Himself and became our substitute, died in our place, suffered for us, endured the wrath of God against our sin that was upon Him, so that we could have everlasting life. Oh, too many today are like the rich fool who saw only his riches and died without hope. But not so with blind Bartimaeus. He heard that Jesus was passing and he cried out, "Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." Though he was blind, he could see better than many today because he saw also the Lord. He realized there was salvation in none other, and he realized that his condition was hopeless, and he saw also the Lord, and he cried out to Jesus. And the Bible says Jesus stood still. He healed him, and he saved him. That's exactly how every unsaved person is saved today. He's got to not focus just on his sin, but upon the Lord who paid that sin debt. That's what I did 62 years ago when I put my trust in Jesus as a 15-year-old rebel boy, deserving nothing but the judgment of God. Knowing I was a sinner, knowing I deserved hell, and I looked beyond and saw also the Lord hanging on Calvary, suffering and bleeding for me. And I walked down that aisle, and the best I knew how, I put my trust in Him. And He saved me. Oh, my dear friend, also the Lord. Don't just major on the problem, the heartache, the suffering, the sorrow. Look beyond it. And see also the Lord, who's able to take sin and turn it to victory through Calvary. Who's able to take chaos and suffering and sorrow and turn it to our good and His glory. If we'll see also the Lord.
Amen.
Father, thank You for Jesus. Thank You that through everything I go through, You're there. Every fear, every trial, every test, every tear, every disappointment, every failure, there You are. If we'll just see You, and with You comes victory and help through that time of need. Teach us to trust You, to lean on You, to call on You, to lay our burdens at Your feet, to take our sorrow and our suffering and give them to You, and know that You have help and comfort just waiting for us, if we'll see also the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.